turn now in the Word of God to the Old Testament, the prophecy of Isaiah, and to the chapter 1. Isaiah and the chapter 1. And, just have a short Bible reading this evening. And as we come now to the preaching, I'm more comfortable preaching the gospel than I am giving a word of testimony. And we're just coming to Isaiah chapter 1. We read perhaps from verse 16. And let us hear God's word together. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Amen. We'll end there at verse 20. And may the Lord bless this short reading to each of our hearts this evening. I want to take as my text tonight the words of verse 18. And we look at these words as words of gospel invitation. The Lord says, come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Let's unite our hearts together in a word of prayer, and let's seek the help of the Lord as we come to the preaching of His Word. Father, we praise Thee tonight that we're found gathered together in Thy house. And we thank Thee, O God, for Thy mercy, whereby we can gather together in the name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And we do thank Thee, our Father, for Thy precious word. And we ask, O God, as we consider it together this evening, that it might be a word in season to each and every heart that is gathered. For those, our Father, who were saved, that it might rejoice our hearts when we consider what Thou hast done for us. And we ask, O God, if there be any tonight who are outside of Christ, that Thou wouldst use these words, O God, to bring them through tonight victoriously for the Lord Jesus Christ. Do hear and answer prayer and abide with us now. We ask it in the Saviour's great name. Amen. Well, the Lord Himself is the speaker in this text of Scripture. And He is speaking to His people, the people of Israel, who were a privileged people, but they have offended the Lord. They had got to that stage where they were just going through the motions of religion. They were doing all that which was outward. They were offering sacrifices to the Lord. They were observing holy days. They were praying. But in all of this, Israel had sinned because their heart was not right with God. And God is provoked to anger. And God is offended. Man has sinned against his Creator, against the Almighty. And the Lord is under no obligation to bring man back to Himself. The Lord could justly have cut them off, but the Lord, through the words of this text of Scripture, is giving to them opportunity to repent and to get right with God. And here we have a holy God, a righteous God, a just God. One who was sinned against, and yet He comes to this sinful people and He gives them a gracious opportunity to close in with Him. And He says, come. Come now. and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And you could search the scriptures tonight, and it would be difficult, you would be hard pressed to come up with more gracious words, with words that would express the love and the mercy of God in a greater way. These words tonight that stand before us in the scripture, they bring a great challenge in the gospel. And therefore we're speaking primarily tonight to those who would still be in an unconverted state, those who are not prepared for God's eternity to stand before a holy God, those who have never been born again, who have not repented of their sin and trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a sad condition to be in tonight. But we have to say too, it's a sinful condition to be in. Refusing to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is loving and gracious and merciful, and yet you remain in that sinful state, refusing to close in with the Lord. You know tonight, in your heart of hearts, you know with judgment day honesty that you're not in a right relationship with the Lord. I want you to consider these words tonight and to take them as a gracious invitation, as a golden opportunity for you this evening to get right with God and to be right with God for all eternity. As we think about this gospel invitation, I want you to notice with me how the words speak to us of the compassion of the Lord. Here's the Lord who has been sinned against, who has been rejected, who has been offended, and yet he comes and he says with the words of verse 18, come nigh. The Lord inviting sinners unto himself, come nigh. Now, whenever you think of that invitation, come, that's an invitation that runs right through the Bible. The Lord is continually giving that invitation. You could go to the book of Genesis and think of how when it came to that point where the Lord said to Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. He was invited to come. Come thou and all thy house. You could think of the words further over in the book of Isaiah. In the chapter 55 and the opening verse of that chapter, where it says, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat, yea, come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Do you hear the invitation of the Lord tonight? The Lord who would say to the sinner, come. You think in the final book in the Bible, the book of the Revelation, the chapter 22, and just as God's word is coming to a close in verse 17, listen for the invitation, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Can you see the compassion of the Lord from the beginning of the Bible right through to the end of the Bible? The Lord is giving forth the invitation and he's saying, come. What compassion. What love. The Lord, remember, who could justly banish each one of us to the lowest hell. And yet the Lord comes and he gives this gracious and compassionate invitation. And he gives it to the vilest of sinners. Because the verse here, this text in Isaiah 1 and the verse 18, it's speaking about sins that are scarlet sins. It's speaking about sins that are crimson sins. And whenever we think about the scarlet and the crimson sins, surely that's a reference to sins of excess. sins of notoriety. We're looking there at base sins. The scarlet and the crimson. Those sins that perhaps we would all know too well because of the evidence of sin that is all around us in this world. Sins, we would say, of deepest dye. That's actually what these words, scarlet and crimson, are referring to. They're referring to a dye. A dye that was used in Bible times, that was made from those little desert, little grub worms. And they were taken and they were crushed. And the juice there, or the dye that was produced, was used to make the colors scarlet and crimson. And whenever that particular dye was used, it was considered to be a permanent dye. And any material that was steeped in this particular dye, the dye went into every fiber of that fabric. It penetrated right through that material, and it was practically impossible for that dye to be removed. The scarlet and the crimson colour. And it's speaking to us about our sins. And you know, that scarlet and crimson, that dye that is a permanent dye, it's speaking to us of our sinful nature and of our sinful character, because man's heart is so depraved that sin is actually ingrained into the very fabric of our being. And every part of man is stained with sin. In Isaiah chapter 1, you could just glance back in that chapter, and you look there at the verses 5 and 6. Here's a spiritual description of man. Here's a picture of our depravity. Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. And that was the spiritual description that was given there of Israel in their sin. And it well describes our sinful character and man's sinful nature. From the sole of the foot to the crown of the head, spiritually, there's nothing but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. That old permanent dye of sin, it has gone right through our hearts and right through every fiber of our being. Now, when we look to hearts tonight, and perhaps you look into your heart and you know your own sinful ways, you know them all too well, and you would perhaps be thinking, I've been too long on this road of sin, it could never change now. Those old sins are permanent there, they're scarlet, they're crimson, they couldn't be removed. Those old habits have got such a grip upon me, it would be impossible for them to be taken away. Everyone who thinks, I'll never change now, it's too late for me. That's the very sort of individual the Lord is inviting in this text. Where the old scarlet crimson sins have got so ingrained into the fiber of our being that humanly speaking, it's impossible of ourselves to change or to see those sins taken away. But the Lord would say to such, and he would say it tonight with a heart of compassion, come. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. What love there is from the Lord tonight. God commendeth his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died to save sinners. And he died to cleanse us from sin and to take away our sin. You may be saying tonight, my sins are not scarlet. My sins are not crimson. I haven't got into those deep-dyed sins of the world. I have lived a very upright and a very decent life, and that may be the case tonight. You wouldn't describe yourself as the scarlet sinner, but maybe tonight you have sinned against your privileges whereby you have been brought up in that good Christian home. You have been taught the gospel from your early days. You have had the godly example of parents. You've had the good upbringing. You've heard the gospel many, many times. And you know you need to be saved. But up to this very moment, up to this gospel meeting tonight, you've spurned that opportunity. You've walked out of gospel meetings saying, not now. Not now. Maybe some other time. Maybe some other occasion, but not now. May you have been very privileged from the Lord. The Lord has been gracious and merciful to you. And I say to you tonight, it's a terrible sin to turn your back again upon the Lord and to leave the gospel meeting without trusting in Him for salvation. That's a scarlet sin. That's a crimson sin. You know, in Matthew chapter 11, the Lord spoke about those cities that had been so privileged. They had seen the mighty works of the Lord. And those cities, Chorazin and Bethsaida, and the Lord said unto them in Matthew 11 and the verse 20, then began He to upbraid the cities wherein most of His mighty works were done, because they repented not. And then the Lord said, woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. The Lord goes on to say in verse 22, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. What was the Lord saying? He's saying, you've been a privileged people. You've witnessed the mighty works of the Lord. And you have heard the Savior. Yet you haven't repented. It'll be more tolerable for those that were in Sodom and Gomorrah than it will be for you, because you spurned the privileges that God gave you. Do you hear tonight the words of compassion from the Savior? And He would say to you with the words of our text, come now, come now. Oh, there's urgency. The Lord just doesn't say come, He says come now. There's danger and death and delay. We know not how long we have when the Lord would take the breath from our body. And therefore we say come now. Come when the Lord is striving with you. Come when the Lord is troubling your heart. Come when the Holy Spirit of God is convicting you. Come now. Call upon the name of the Lord even this night. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Come now. The compassion that's in these words. Notice secondly the consideration that's in these words. The Lord says, come now. And let us reason together, saith the Lord. The Lord is actually saying, let us reason together. Let's give consideration to this matter. It's as if we come face to face with the Lord and we're going to do business. We're going to consider the matter of our soul salvation for all eternity. Be good to give time to that. It will be good to give consideration to that tonight. It's the most important matter of all. It's the greatest truth that we will ever face. And therefore we would do well tonight to take up this invitation from the Lord and to give it serious consideration as to how you stand before the Lord. But so often we don't want to face up to that. We don't want, as it were, to come before the Lord and to deal with this matter. We don't mind going along to church from time to time. We don't mind doing that. We don't mind listening to the preacher. We don't even mind some of the outward trappings of religion. We don't mind those things, just going through the motions of religion, coming and going from the place of worship. But you don't really want to face up to this issue of giving consideration to how your soul is before the Lord. The Lord would say to you tonight, come now and let us reason together. Let's consider this matter. Sometimes we want to treat spiritual matters the way we treat other matters. There's a legal matter. We say, let the solicitor deal with that. There's a financial matter, we'll say, let the accountant deal with that. Maybe if there's a spiritual matter, let the minister take care of that. Let him be concerned about that. We always want someone else to do it for us, but this is a matter that we cannot delegate to anyone else. It's personally. It's individually. We have to face up to this matter, and we have to face up to it now. And the Lord is saying, let us reason together on this most important matter of all. And what's the terms of the reasoning tonight? It's not a coming before the Lord by way of negotiating with Him or bargaining with Him. That's not the reasoning that's in view here. If you take the words of verse 18 in their context, you can see the basis of that reasoning. And at the very basis of that reasoning with the Lord is the fact that you're a sinner. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet. Though your sins be as crimson. That's the basis. That you accept the fact that you're a sinner, and that's the terms by which you can come before the Lord. Acknowledging before God that you're a sinner. That's the terms. Remember when Paul, and the very word is used, Paul reasoned with Felix, do you remember? And he reasoned with him in righteousness. The fact that Felix didn't have any righteousness, that he was unrighteous, that he was a sinner. He reasoned with him of righteousness, of temperance, and of judgment to come, and Felix trembled. You see, whenever you come to reason with the Lord, you have to come on the basis that you're a sinner. And that's the terms the Lord will accept you on. The Lord wants you to come and take that place before Him as a guilty, hell-deserving sinner. And the Lord is saying here, He'll meet us on those grounds. Come now on that basis. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet. Though your sins be as crimson. That's the consideration of the text. But I want to come to the third point tonight. The man who gave his testimony took up too much of my time for preaching. So we come to the third point, and that's the cleansing. The cleansing that there is in this text. Think of these words with me. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Sins that were as scarlet can be as white as snow. Sins that were like crimson can be as wool. That seemed impossible, didn't it? Whenever you take that deep dye that was made with those little grub worms, and it was considered to be a permanent dye, it would be impossible to get it out of the material because it was through every fibre of the material, and it speaks about sin that's all through our hearts and through our nature and through every fibre of our being. And humanly speaking, it would be impossible to take away the stain of sin. Oh, tonight the Lord Jesus Christ, He went to that center tree and He poured out His scarlet crimson blood, and He did it in love, and He did it in order that our scarlet sins and our crimson sins could be washed away, cleansed. that our hearts could be made as white as snow and as white as wool. You know, it's interesting in that messianic psalm, in the Psalm 22, where the Lord actually cried out with those words, "I am a worm and no man." It would seem a strange thing for the Lord to cry out, "I am a worm and no man." And it could be that reference there to the scarlet dye that was made from the worm, and the Lord has shed his precious blood because there he was crushed with the wrath of God on Calvary. But through the shedding of his precious blood, your sins tonight, my sins, can be taken away completely. And we're made as white as snow. There's no other way to have our sins taken away. The hymn says, "What can wash away my sin?" And it gives us the answer, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What a promise there is in this text of Scripture tonight that we can be made whiter than the snow. Remember the words in Revelation chapter 7. It's looking forward in time, and it's that great innumerable company of people which no man can number that make up the assembly of the just, the redeemed of the Lord. And in Revelation 7, and just looking there in the verse 13 for the sake of time, "And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Maybe you see it tonight. That's the redeemed of the Lord in glory. And they've washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. That's everyone that has accepted the invitation from the Lord to come as a sinner to Jesus and to know his cleansing power. And I wonder tonight in this gospel meeting, have you come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you taken that humble place before him and acknowledged you're a sinner, repenting of your sin, asking the Lord for his cleansing? What it is tonight of your sins washed away. Thank God you could accept the invitation even this night. And this night could be the night of your salvation. A night that you could leave this house of God knowing the burden lifted. Knowing it's well with your soul. And knowing the peace of God within your heart tonight. Oh, the cleansing of the Saviour's precious blood. Francis Ridley Havergal was the hymn writer. She has written many hymns. Some of them are recorded in her own hymn book. Perhaps the best known one was "Take My Life and Let It Be, Consecrated, Lord, to Thee." But Francis Ridley Havergal could testify that there was a time in her life when she was greatly burdened because of her sin. And she read through the Scriptures and she came to 1 John chapter 1 and the verse 7. And she read these words, "The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." And when she read those words, she realized the cleansing power of the Saviour's precious blood. And closing in with the Lord there, she knew that peace. She knew that pardon. She knew the burden lifted that her sins, all sin, had been cleansed away. That verse of Scripture became her favourite verse of Scripture. And whenever Frances Ridley Havergal died, they placed an open Bible upon her coffin, and it was open at that verse, "The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." And you know, that blood tonight is still able to cleanse from all sin. That blood is still as powerful tonight as it was whenever Francis Ridley Havergal trusted in it. And the Lord would invite you this evening, and He would invite you through the words of our text, that you would come to Him. The verses that follow our text of Scripture, they're worth reading just as we close tonight. The Lord says, "If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it." Those verses speak of life or death, and we apply that spiritually, and we encourage you tonight to choose life and to accept the invitation from the Lord, and even to come tonight and to know His cleansing power. May God bless His word to each and every heart this evening. Thank you.